Decluttering has never been easy for me because I have such a personal attachment to so many of my items through various stages of life. So when I learned about Dorota Caldo and her approach to decluttering, I knew that I had to bring her on to help not only you guys, but to help me with some of my decluttering as well. Campus Chronicles is the ultimate podcast for college students seeking real stories, honest advice, and empowering insights to thrive in student life and beyond. Hosted by Brooke Young and the Campus Chronicles team, this weekly show features inspiring interviews, practical tips, and conversations that tackle the challenges, wins, and personal growth that comes with university life. Perfect for college students, campus leaders, and young adults looking to make the most of their journey, one episode at a time. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, and join the community redefining what it means to thrive in university. Dorota, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting.
Well, first I want to get started with, what is your Campus Chronicles story?
The thing is, like, I graduated 16 years ago, so I think I have to, like, dig deeper there. But the thing that really, from the five-year experience, that stands out for me is my second year. I studied international relations for my bachelor's degree, and the second year I took part in... I don't remember the name of the program, but it's like student exchange program. And I moved to Cyprus to study for the full term. And, you know, I was like 19 at the time. And, you know, it was back in, oh my gosh, like 2006. No internet. Imagine, right?
yes.
But I remember, like, crazy. I remember, though, it was such a humbling experience, but also it gave me so much confidence to try different things, to do more differently without internet. So, yeah, like, definitely, like, I remember this year of 2007 or 2008 when I studied for the full term in Cyprus, not knowing the language. And I didn't really speak English at the time either.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, but, you know, I managed to pass all the exams. I don't even remember how, but it's just to say that, you know, when you put your head to something and you set yourself a goal and you're just brave enough to take the first step, you can do it.
You used an interesting word. You used the word humbling. Why humbling?
Because I was very confident teenager, and then my first year of uni, I was very popular. So then I went to this new country with people I didn't know, literally no one. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, how am I going to survive here? But, you know, when you're 19, you don't really think about stuff too much, to be honest. Would I do it now? Probably not, because there's just too many ifs. Even now, thinking about, like, you know, moving to a country and not having access to internet, like, crazy. I mean, internet, we did have internet, obviously, like in cafes and places, but it was humbling. It definitely showed me that, you know, there are other people that I can also rely on, not just me.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And I love what you said about when you're 19, you don't know what you don't know. And that's a beautiful thing, because you're more courageous than you would be as you get older. And I want to get into what I'm bringing you on today for. So you have this wealth of knowledge in decluttering. When we think about university spaces, they're not huge. Even me, I don't live in a uni space anymore. Decluttering is so difficult for me. As we begin, where did your interest in decluttering start?
In my own story, I struggled with clutter my whole life. But it wasn't until COVID, when it got really, really bad to the point of, you know, I had to pretend that it wasn't there. I worked 15 hours a day. So, you know, if I sort of take it back to like when I was at uni studying, working, you know, there isn't really that much free time. So it got really, really bad. And I decided, you know, and it's actually a funny story because the straw that broke a camel's back for me was the point when I overwatered this plant, and I was like, okay, I need to throw it away. So I grabbed it, and like the water, that muddy water, just went everywhere, all over me, all over my bed, all over like literally floor everywhere. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I cannot believe that this is my life, right? Mm-hmm. And then at that point, I decided, okay, no, I cannot do that. Like, I have to do something with it. And then I just went deep, like, how do I actually get out of this hole that I am in? So that's where it all started for me.
As far as your decluttering story, was it hard to take the initial first step?
It's a good question. I don't think I've ever been asked this.
I love to ask questions that no one's ever been asked before. It's a passion.
Yeah, I love this. I love this. You know what? I think it comes the time when we are so fed up with our circumstances that this initial step is sort of, it's being birthed out of this like motivation, but not. How do I want to say this? Because I don't really like the word motivation, or like, because it doesn't really work. It's just like 5 seconds and it disappears. I would more say like desire to change, right? That it comes from there, that initial spark. And then it's our job to figure out how to actually do it in a way that it will be sustainable. Because we can do everything for a week, right? Whatever you want, what, you know, whether go to a gym for a week, and then like, how do you actually keep going? Starting a diet, journaling, like any practice, any new thing, it's easy to do for a short period of time. But how do we actually keep going?
That's beautiful. With university students who have very limited physical space, what is your advice around decluttering for university students in particular?
You know, I think decluttering in general is the way I teach it to my clients, and on my social media, is quite universal, no matter what age you are, what stage of life, what's the reason for decluttering. It's quite universal there. So I would always say, you know, yes, the spaces are very limited, but also the point here that I'm making with my method is sustainability. And we only reach that through nervous system regulation first. Okay. I truly believe that, and it's backed by science. It's not just like me, like woo-woo, whatever stuff, right? But it's backed by science that we have to feel, our body, our nervous system has to feel safe to let go. And then the strategy that we choose, no matter what we choose and how we do it, there is a ways that we can do it in a smarter way, but it all sort of works, right? So for the tiny spaces, you know, for the dorm or like rooms or like whatever the university students live now, again, it's been 16 years.
It's been a hot second.
It's been a hot second. Yeah, it has. I would say, you know, just have a look at the space, and it's hard because I don't want to give a tip for someone who would say like, you know, that it wouldn't work for me, because it's very unique. So we really have to look at the space from the perspective of, okay, what do I, am I ready to let go? Because if I'm not ready to start this process, and we're doing it just because, you know, this lady on the podcast said that I should declutter, I should have less, it's not a good way to start, right? But if we truly, truly, deeply have a desire to take on that journey, minimize the amount of things that we have, and in small spaces, the stuff that we have, it gets messy so fast. so, so fast. So are we ready? If the answer to this is yes, then I always say start with the nervous system regulation. So, you know, the nervous system regulation is important because if we don't feel safe to let go, we can maybe, we'll be able to do a day or two, maybe five, but we need more than that to sustainably declutter because we always bring stuff in, right? So we'll always be removing things. We change our mind, we change the fashion, whatever. So do you have like maybe a specific more question so I can answer, because it's such a broad topic, but if you have like a specific maybe answer to your question to your situation, then I'll be able to like direct you more and give you more examples from there.
Let's use me as an example. How about we do that? It'll be fun.
Yeah. Yes.
In my experience, what can happen to me or has happened to me in the past is I will accumulate items. And as those items accumulate within my space, I will begin to feel increasingly anxious. I have the desire to get rid of some of the items, but the fear that I could need them, the fear that I'm going to regret it, can definitely start to creep in for me. With that fear, regrets, fear that you could need it, other fears, how do you mitigate that so that you actually can let things go?
Love this question. It's my favorite thing to answer because the answer is not where you would expect it to be. So all those beliefs, all those questions in your head that you have, they are a clear sign that your nervous system is dysregulated. Because if it wasn't dysregulated, you just let go easily, right? But I spent good money on it, or maybe I'll need it one day. I have to keep it just in case. All of that is a protection mechanism from the change, because decluttering, changing, it's changing, right? It's changing the environment. Our nervous system likes to be safe, likes the predictable, right? We call it, sometimes you can hear it, you know, being called like a comfort zone, right? Or the familiar zone. That's what it is. If we look at the purpose of the nervous system, like what it actually is, and we take it back to like 2 million years ago when we still lived in caves, or however long that was, everything that was inside of the cave, which is now, we call it our familiar zone, was safe, right? We were safe inside of the cave. Everything outside of the cave was a perceived danger because maybe something, you know, potentially a life-threatening situation. Right now, if we take it to today, the unfamiliar zone, the things that we don't know, something that we want to change, try new things, this is all now this sort of outside of the cave. And nervous system is this like warning sign to our body and our brain to keep us safe, keep us protected from that perceived danger, right? So now, again, if you think like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do with this item, because what if I need it again? You are already dysregulated. Right. So I would always say to all of my clients, I always say, if you have to think about the item, don't even touch it, because you're not ready for it yet. It's all about building that self-trust, right? Because here's the thing, you keep the item, what if I need it again? Because you don't trust yourself that you know what to do in the, you know, hypothetical situation in the future, if you actually needed this item, right? So it's like in advance, you protect yourself. In advance, your nervous system goes, okay, let's just make her freak out about this item so she keeps it, because we are not, we don't know. It's not like, you know, we don't trust ourselves, but it's more to do with the fact that it's unknown and we don't know how we're going to behave in this unknown. So there is a way to actually start building this trust, right? The biggest and the best way is consistency. So if you say that you're going to, and I know it's like, oh my gosh, there she goes with consistency. Everyone says that.
Well, consistency is important.
Yes, it's you know, it's like you say, okay, I want to declutter. You know, there's this room, right, with loads of the stuff, the school books or like, you know, the clothes and all the stuff, whatever the, you know, university students have in the room. And you look at that space and, you know, it can get really overwhelming really fast. Okay, so what I want you guys to do is to have a look at this space and just think about, okay, what can I let go of right now that is going to have zero effect on my like emotions, my well-being or whatever. And there's one category of items that fits this description perfectly. Do you want to have a guess what it is?
I'm not sure.
It's trash.
Oh, well, that's actually really good.
Right? Like, was there any moment in your past life? Because now that's what we also doing here, right? We are proving to ourselves that we can get rid of things, right? And, you know, people like to think decluttering, okay, clothes, shoes, bags, you know, books, photos, like all those like big things. But trash is also items, right? So that's what, like removing anything. If anything leaves, that's decluttering. That's how I like to look at this topic from this perspective. So, you know, you can get rid of trash because you have like a history, very long, you know, history of getting rid of that.
You've so built your there. Muscle of You've getting rid of trash. A, like you yes. have done that.
You have done that before. So start there. Because the thing is, right, it's the same. I love that you use the muscle analogy because I like to use that, you know, when you go to the gym, right, you don't just go and lift and deadlift like the heaviest weight. No, you start with the bar, right? The 20-pound bar or like however heavy that is. So that's what we do. And we gradually add the weight, right? As our muscles expand, as they grow, that's exactly the same with nervous system. We have to start with what we can do the easiest. So like no emotional weight at all. Just start with the trash. There is so much trash around us. Like, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Like, you know, just grab a trash bag and start doing that and do that. And don't do like 15 hours in one day. That's the big one, right? Do, I'd say, because you have to study, maybe you have a work that you have to go to as well. Some, you know, a social life, right? God forbid. So do 5 minutes. Can you do 5 minutes? Yes, because it's all about sustainability. It's all about that, doing that, you know, every single day or like, you know, every other day. At the very beginning, it's more about proving to ourselves that, okay, I said I'll do it, so I'll do it. Non-negotiable, 1 minute every day. Can you do 1 minute?
I can do it. I'm sure our listeners can. There's something I briefly want to touch on with you as well. What does our emotional connection to items, how does that fit into this puzzle?
Oh my gosh, such a deep question, because we buy things for only one reason, because we have an emotional, we have emotional feeling towards this item, right? Whether it be because I like it, that's emotion. Whether it be I saw it, I love it, that's emotion. Whether I saw it on someone and I'm jealous, so I have to buy it, that's emotion, right? Would I think, you know, maybe I'll buy this dress to emulate someone? That's emotion. Every single thing that we don't, as humans, we don't make, we first make a decision out of the emotion and then we justify with logic. But the first initial spark is always emotion. So emotion is like a spectrum, right? And it's the same with decluttering. You have emotional attachment to some items that is so strong that, you know, you have to, like, you cannot imagine your life without this item, right? But trash, there isn't really emotional attachment. It's like, okay, gone, right? And when we do that and we look at the items from that perspective rather than everything else, all those like imaginary rules, it becomes almost effortless. And that sustainability is a big, big part here. Doing it every day, you know, if you promised, do it. And then at one point, it will become such a such a habit, which is, probably a good way to say it, or just such an automatic thing that you won't even think about it. There will be a candle that you got from a friend and you don't like the smell, and you'll be like, okay, see you later, right? So that's sort of how I would always direct this.
You have a beautiful way of explaining such a big, vast topic and making it easy and actionable and fun and warm. You are so good at this. I have a question.
Yeah.
It's a hard question. We'll see how you feel about it. So if you were going to give three pieces of advice to university age students about decluttering, what are those three pieces of advice?
Ooh, love it.
First, I know, it's one, so spicy, isn't it? It brings out gems from people.
Yeah. So here's the thing, right? And again, probably the last one, you'll be like, what? There's a little like a cliffhanger there for you, right? Let's watch till the end. Listen to the end. Okay, so the first one is give yourself grace. Okay, if you come to decluttering from the point of shame and I should, you're not going to go far, right? So give yourself grace, and the expectation always should be, I don't like the word should, but non-existent, right? Should be non. There is no such thing as, you know, those rules, those standards, because they always... I feel like the decluttering rules and standards for what people, what is okay to have and what isn't, has been sort of invented by, you know, that bra style marketing, you know, very masculine, very, you know, get it done schedule kind of thing, right? But it's just not feasible right now for us, right? That we have, there's so much expectations. We are bombarded with, you know, everything around us is just sometimes, like, I even don't even go on internet because I don't want to see that, right? The things that I should buy, the things that I should have, all of that, right? So create that distance, but definitely give yourself grace. And if it's going to take you a very long time to minimize the amount of stuff that you have to the point where you'll be like, oh, okay, I can breathe now. If it's going to take you a month, two or three, like, it's okay, right? Everything is working out. You cannot mess this up. As long as you keep going, you cannot mess this up, right? The second piece of advice that I have is, you know, regulate first. Really, this is just so important. Regulate your nervous system first, right? And you can do, there's like million and one ways that you can regulate your nervous system, but the one that is the most important is breathing. Like, are you breathing? Like, take five deep breaths before you even start, like your decluttering session. What I want you to do is take five deep breaths and then just, you know, hype yourself up a little bit. Put a music on, right? Have a dance part before you start, during as well, if you want to, right? There is no rules. But if you want to as well, fine. But before you start, right? Because you want to show your nervous system that the task that you're going to do is not scary. It seems scary, right? It seems like, oh my gosh, you know, the frustration, the overwhelm, where do I start, right? It doesn't matter where you start, as long as you do start. And the last one, the third one, right? Not what you expect. So I love this. Like, I live by it now. Burn the rule book. There was no rules, okay? There is literally no rules. Just because, you know, Susan, three doors down, has like one towel, it doesn't mean that this is the standard. Because let's say her room is nice and tidy. and she has one towel. It's not a standard, right? All those like fake decluttering rules, what they do is if you cannot keep up with it, then immediately shame, immediately overwhelm, immediately comparison, and you're done. That's like nervous system is just like so dysregulated there. So burn the rule book. Like you are the author or creator of your life. I know that it might seem like, you know, scary, but I think the sooner we learn that for our own well-being, like mental health, is so important. And I know that, like, you know, maybe that doesn't really have much to do with decluttering, but also in the same time, like, this is my golden rule, burn the rule book.
I love the third point because it is so important. There can be so much immense pressure around how everything is done. So what you do very well is you demystify and you make it not this looming, scary, frightening topic. If someone wants to follow you on socials, where do they follow you?
I'm an old school, so I'm on Instagram, not on TikTok.
I'm not on TikTok either. You're good.
No, like for me, again, like going back with the rule book, right? As an online creator, as a coach, I should be everywhere, but I choose what I can, you know, sustain. So I'm on Instagram under Dorota Kuldo Decluttering. That's DorotaKuldo Decluttering. And you can just find me there. Follow me and, you know, you can always message me, ask me questions. I'm very open. And when I can, and if I can, I always either direct you to resources or answer the question directly.
I want to say thank you so much for coming on today to tackle a topic that I don't think is maybe talked about enough, especially in the way that we discussed it, because we didn't discuss it from a do one, two, and three, and then you'll be perfectly serene and your space will be tidy. We discussed it from the real practicality of people have emotional attachment to their items. This is a really big deal. So thank you for diving into a very nuanced, somewhat fascinating topic with me. I appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for having me. I loved answering your questions.
And I want to say thank you so much to everyone for joining us on another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast. So if today's episode gave you life, perspective, or just a much needed moment to breathe in a busy world, I don't want you to keep it to yourself. Share it, tag us, please send it to a friend who needs to hear it. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, what are you doing? Go to campuschroniclespod.com and join the crew. We have all the behind the scenes things, unfiltered thoughts from me and the team, bonus resources, and insider only invites to events, giveaways, and things that we really don't post anywhere else. I promise I'm not going to spam you. It's just the good stuff straight to your inbox. Being in university is wild enough. You don't need to miss out on what matters. Sign up now and let's make this next semester the one that you stop surviving and start thriving. Until next time, stay bold, stay curious, keep writing your own chapter. This is Campus Chronicles.